BBC News.
This is BBC Radio 4, and now we go back to London in the 1950s for our classic serial, the third book in the Out of the Hitler Time trilogy by Judith Carr.
A Small Person Far Away by Judith Carr. Dramatised by B.T. Rubens.
By 1956, Richard and I were married and living in our first flat in West London. My brother Max was married too, with a small baby. Papa had been dead 8 years, and Mama was settled back in Berlin. Then the telegram arrived.
What does it say?
I don't understand. Mama's never ill.
Your mother seriously ill with pneumonia. Stop. Your presence may be needed. Stop. Please book provisional flight tomorrow. Stop. We'll telephone 9 this evening. Stop. Conrad.
I don't want to leave you, Richard. And I don't want to go to Berlin. Especially not at the moment. They were demonstrating in Hyde Park this morning. The Hungarians. I know it's daft, but it makes me think that the Russians could close in and take Berlin just like that. Then I'd be trapped. They couldn't, could they?
Good Lord, no. It would mean war with America.
I know, but it still scares
Look,
me.
Perhaps she'll be better by now.
Well, I just don't understand. Surely these days, when people get pneumonia, the doctors just fill them with penicillin. Unless the Germans haven't got it yet.
Well, they must have.
Well, the Americans must certainly have it, and they're the ones she's working for. And how did she get pneumonia in the first place?
Didn't she say something in her last letter about going sailing?
Oh, where is that letter? Oh, I wish I'd answered it.
Never mind, love. You can ask Conrad when he phones.
I have a call for you from Berlin.
Conrad?
Through.
Conrad, how is Mama?
Her condition is unchanged. I think you should still come tomorrow. I think one of her family should be here, Anna.
Of course.
What about Max? Has he told him?
Have you been in touch with Max? He and Wendy are in Greece with the baby, aren't they?
I'm going to cable him tomorrow morning.
Right.
My dear, I hope you're not too upset.
Oh, I'm all right. But I don't understand. How did she ever get pneumonia in the first place?
I'm sorry, but your mother took an overdose of sleeping pills.
Well, I could still come with you.
Oh, no, don't fuss, Richard. I'll be fine.
You don't sound fine.
It's just my time of the month. You know how I feel when I'm due.
Poor darling.
I didn't sleep well thinking about it all. Poor Mama. I wish at least I'd written to
her. It can't have been that. She must have been really worried about something else.
Do you think so? Max probably hadn't written either. Oh, God. I suppose some people have two parents who die in their beds.
Comrad will explain. He's picking up at the airport, isn't he?
Poor Mama. I should have written.
She's been in a coma since Saturday. It took some time for the doctors to work out what she'd taken.
It was because of me, wasn't it? Because I hadn't written.
No, no, of course not.
Well, why then?
She had grounds for believing that I was no longer faithful to her.
Are you in love with someone else?
No, no, no. I had an affair.
An affair?
It was nothing. A girl in my office. Nothing. This is the Grunwald. Do you remember coming here as a child? It's not far from where you grew up.
Oh, I was only 9. I think I remember the pine trees. How did she find out?
I told her. I was afraid she might hear from someone else.
But if you don't love this woman and she knows it's all over...
Oh, you know what your mother's like. She said that things could never be right between us. That she's had to start again too many times in her life already. That you and Max were grown up and no longer needed her. The hospital's a German one, by the way. I thought that if your mother recovered, it would be easier for her if the Americans didn't know. She does most of her translating work for them these days. Anyway, it was closer. When I found her...
You found her?
Of course. I'd been afraid of this happening, and I stayed with her as much as I could. But that night, I had to go out for a meeting. Then, when I found her, I stood and looked at her. And I didn't know what to do.
How do you mean?
Well, perhaps it was really what she wanted. She said again and again that she was tired. I still don't know if I did the right thing, but I thought of you and Max, and I felt I couldn't take the responsibility. Here we are. Try not to let it distress you too much.
Why is she out here, not in a proper ward?
Well, it's better like this. Your mother needs constant observation, and there are doctors and nurses crossing the landing every few minutes. They can keep an eye on her.
She's been very well looked after, Anna.
We need to keep trying to bring her out of the coma by calling her by her name. A familiar voice is always better. Perhaps if you speak to her, she will hear.
But in English or in German?
That you must decide for yourself.
I'll wait for you downstairs in the cafeteria, Anna.
Mama? It's me, Anna. Mama? Mama? You must wake up, Mama. Wake up. Please wake up.
Keep trying. Even if there's no reaction, your voice may be getting through.
We need you, Mama. Max and I. And Conrad loves you. Please, wake up, Mama. Everything's going to be all right. Just wake up. Are you there, Mama?
Never mind. Try again later.
Darling Richard, Mama is still in a coma. They're encouraging me to speak to her and call her out of it. Sometimes I try in English, and sometimes in German, but neither seems to do any good. The English sounds so corny. I feel just like a character out of Dr. Kildare. And strangely, the German turns me into a little child again. There I am, standing in the rather public landing area where they've wheeled her bed, and suddenly I get the most vivid pictures in my mind from long ago. Climbing onto her bed in the morning after she and Papa had been at the theatre or a concert, and trying to wake her by crying, "Mummy, Mummy." Nothing seems to do any good, but I'll keep trying. Max will be here tomorrow, which is a relief. I wish you were here. I'd like to go back to the hotel and just collapse into bed tonight, but Conrad is taking me to supper with those friends of theirs, Erwin and Hildy Goldblatt.
Here she is, come all the way from London to visit her sick mum. And how is she today?
The pneumonia is a little better.
Thank you for asking.
Oh, she'll be well soon. Today pneumonia is nothing, not like in the war. Now you must be hungry, Anna. Come, sit. A little soup with knödel to start.
Lovely.
How's your brother? What is he doing? Something in Greece, your mother said.
He's got a big case on for a Greek ship owner.
Oh.
He was there for a conference, and then the ship owner lent him a house for a holiday with Wendy and the baby. The trouble is, it's on a tiny island a long way from Athens, so it's bound to take him a long time to get here.
Max, too, is coming to see his mother? Is it that serious?
Even today, pneumonia is no joke. I thought it best to let him know.
Of course. Such a clever young barrister, such promise. Already a big ship owner is lending him a house. And as soon as your mother sees her son, she will get up from her sick bed and walk.
Why is she so restless? It's the new drugs that the doctor has prescribed to try to bring her out of the coma. She's unconscious. She's unaware of any of this.
Good. I don't think there's much point in your staying now. Perhaps come back this afternoon.
Oh, I'm not sure.
Come, Anna. I don't have to be back in the office till this afternoon. We'll go and get some lunch.
Conrad!
Hello, Ken.
I was hoping to run into you here, but look, isn't it wonderful news about Hungary?
I haven't had a chance to see a paper today.
Look, they've told the Russians to get out. Just told them to go back to Mother Russia. Isn't that wonderful?
Oh, wonderful if the Russians take a blind bit of notice. Ken, do you remember Anna? I think you met once before. This is Ken Hathaway, Anna. He works for the British Council here.
How do you do?
How do you do?
I was so sorry to hear of your mother's illness.
Thank you.
Do give her my love. Oh, it's hard to think of her ill. She has such enthusiasm, such a feeling for life and living it to the full. I always think that's a very continental quality, don't you? We'll miss her on Wednesday.
Of course, the British Council party.
Well, perhaps Anna, I may call you Anna, you would consider taking her place.
Oh, I couldn't possibly. I mean, well, it depends on how my mother is.
Well, let's say I'll bring her if her mother can spare.
I'll look forward to it. I hope to see you on Wednesday.
I'd better get the bill. You haven't eaten much. What would you like to do this afternoon while I'm at the office? There's the exhibition about your father that I mentioned. Or I could drop you back at the guest house.
I thought I might just walk about a bit.
Walk about? Where?
Where we used to live.
Darling Richard, I actually had to check the sign at the end of the street to make sure I was in the right place. The house wasn't nearly as far down as I remembered. The roof and windows have all been changed, so it's almost unrecognisable. But then I saw the steps leading up to the front door. There I was, racing home from school, climbing the step, pulling at the bell, and as soon as the door was opened, calling, "Is Mama home?" Except that the small person I once was didn't call "Is Mama home?" I called, "Is Mummy da?" And there was no problem in the world that Mama couldn't easily solve. She was at her piano composing, and Papa was up in his study writing, and Heimpy was sitting in the kitchen, embroidering new eyes on Pink Rabbit because the glass ones had fallen out. I walked further down the street, and the newsagent where I bought my colouring pencils is still there, though the man who ran it is gone, and the general shop, and the greengrocer, and the trams going by. Suddenly I thought, what am I doing here? Or rather, I thought, was tue ich eigentlich hier? Die Mami wartet doch auf mich. But where was Mama waiting? At home, up the steps, waiting to hear about my day at school, or struggling under the covers of her hospital bed? And just as I suddenly began to feel rather overwhelmed by it all, there was the kindly, familiar voice of Hildy Goldblatt.
My dear, you're as pale as cheese. Look, drink your tea and you'll feel better. Not that they know how to make tea properly here, of course. How about one of these cakes? No? Are you sure?
No, thanks. I'm sorry. It's all been a bit overwhelming.
Of course. Mothers worrying about their children, that's normal, but the other way around is always bad. Are you going to the hospital later?
I'm just going to look in.
Good. I saw your mother only a couple of weeks ago. She showed me some photos from her summer holiday. She always enjoys everything so much.
I know. I don't want Mama to die.
Oh, of course you don't. I think your mother won't die. After all, she has so much to live for. You and Max and a grandchild already and maybe more to come.
It's just, she had a bad time for so many years.
Listen, my Erwin, before he joined Conrad in the Jewish Restitution Office, he worked at Nuremberg. I know what happened to the Jews who stayed behind. They had a bad time. You drink up your tea and go to the hospital. I hope your mother's pneumonia won't be so bad now. And if she can hear you, tell her it's time she got better.
Mama. Hello, Mama? Mama?
Oh, ich will. Ich will.
Du darfst nicht.
Ich will.
Nein. You don't want to. You mustn't die. We need you. Mammy. 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 Mammy.
Ja, gut.
I'm at the airport. I should be with you pretty soon.
Max, it's all right. Mama's going to be all right.
I know. I've just spoken to the hospital.
Did they tell you?
About the overdose, yes. Do you know why she did it?
Conrad had an affair.
Oh, good God. I thought it was something to do with me. I hadn't written for a bit.
I know, nor me. Anyway, I'm glad you're here. I see you at the hospital.
Yeah. What a lot of trouble bringing up our poor mama.
Your mother is in room 17. She's still very sleepy. I advise only a short visit.
Well, that's a good sign. They kept her out here on the landing when they thought she was in danger.
I see.
Here she is. Not long, remember. Thank you.
Mama?
Max. Oh, Max. I'm so sorry. Your holiday. I didn't mean to.
It's all right, Mama. Everything is all right now.
Max. I'm so glad you're here.
Hello, Mama.
Anna. Ah, you too.
I've been here since Saturday.
Is this very different from the way she's been?
She was in a coma for 3 days. She only came out of it when I was with her last night.
Was it awful?
It was, rather.
You may have saved her life.
Now that Mama was conscious, things felt considerably better. It was a relief to have Max there too. With nothing to do until our evening hospital visit, we decided to go and see the small exhibition in memory of Papa at a nearby theatre.
If you care to come up this way, apologies for the lack of light. Regulations still forbid us to put them on in the morning. It's been a great honour organising the exhibition. Such an exceptional man. He's one of the most brilliant minds of his generation. Einstein, Bernard Shaw and so on. Though, of course, you know all this. He was your father.
Well, things were rather changed for him when we were growing up in England.
It's very good of you to show us around.
Oh, it's a great pleasure. Here. You see the article which caused such controversy in 1927? The last article he published before he left Germany in 1933. It's a complete set of his works. I expect you'd like to look around yourselves.
Thank you.
I never even knew he'd edited this magazine. Oh, it's strange, isn't it? All the time he was doing this, we hardly knew him.
I remember people asking about him at school.
And visitors coming to the house. There was a man who brought us some marzipan pigs. I remember Mama saying he was very famous. Do you suppose that was Einstein?
I think I'd remember Einstein. But I've forgotten the marzipan pigs.
Look at this photo. All of us together in the garden. You look just like Christopher Robin.
Yeah, I'd conveniently forgotten about that haircut.
I remember the picture being taken. I remember I'd just been given the tricycle and I was trying to look like someone who could ride round corners.
I'm afraid that doesn't really come across.
No. Max, when did you and I start speaking to each other in English?
I don't remember now. Sometime during the war, probably.
Perhaps that's why all this seems so far away now.
Perhaps. What's through these doors?
More exhibition, maybe?
I see. This is the circle.
Oh, look. Down there. That must have been where Papa sat. The middle of the third row.
I remember now. That's what he always said. Good to picture him there. Well, that seems to be everything. Shall we go now? I'm pretty hungry.
Oh, Max. Look.
That's the last photo of Papa. They must have put it in that niche so that he's looking out over the theatre.
That's exactly how I remember him.
Me too. Papa, precisely.
Papa had died in Hamburg. He hadn't been back to Germany since we left. But in 1948, the British Control Commission asked him to write about German theatre, which was just starting up again. I don't think he knew quite what to expect, but when he stepped off the plane, there were reporters and photographers waiting for him. And when he walked into the theatre that evening, the audience gave him a standing ovation. I suppose it was too much for him, because he had a stroke 2 weeks later. That was his third stroke. And when he realised he could no longer think as clearly as he wished, Mama had helped him find a way out, as she had always promised she would.
I'm going to have some of those frankfurters. I'm absolutely starving. How about you?
I think I'll just have a drink.
It rather hits one, doesn't it, when one sees an exhibition like that? The sort of person Papa was, you know, stature as a writer and a critic.
Mm.
The sort of life they used to lead together. And now Mama tries to kill herself over someone like Conrad.
Well, I like Conrad. What I find amazing is how boring and ordinary their lives are together. You know, we won $3 at bridge, or the car did 60 miles an hour.
I suppose that's why she likes it so much. She never had a chance to do it before.
What do you mean?
Well, being married to Papa and then being a refugee probably made her wish for some ordinariness. If you want to be a painter or a writer like you, perhaps being different doesn't matter, but I certainly feel it myself.
Nonsense. You've always been different.
I may be a rather good barrister. I may even be tipped to be the youngest QC.
Really?
Maybe. But it's all conforming, isn't it? Fitting in, not sticking out as different. I can understand exactly why Mama wants to be ordinary.
And what about Conrad? Why would he want to go and have an affair? They've been together 7 years now. They really did seem happy.
Mama's so formidable. She's wonderful, but she's hardly restful to be with. Mm. Conrad gave me the impression that the girl meant nothing to him. Maybe she's just a bit easier to be with.
And what do you think will happen now?
Conrad seems happy to pick up the pieces and start again. What I'm worried about is that he'll feel we're taking him for granted, that we're not giving him enough support.
Well, aren't we giving him that by being here now?
I can't stay long. I've got to get back to Greece. Oh. I left Wendy and the baby on a pretty remote island.
I see. Well, perhaps I might be able to stay a little longer.
If you could, it would make all the difference.
Here we are again, Mama.
Oh.
It's good to see you better.
I wish they'd just left me alone. It would have been much simpler for everyone.
Nonsense, Mama.
The only thing I'm sorry about is that I dragged you away from your holiday. I didn't want to. I really didn't. But it was so awful. I tried to wait. At least until you were back in London, but each day, I just couldn't bear it any longer. If only they'd just let me die. Then you needn't have come until the funeral, and then perhaps you could have finished your holiday first.
I might not have enjoyed it that much.
Wouldn't you? After all, what's an old mother?
True, Mama. But I just happen to be attached to mine. So is Anna.
Yes, I am.
I don't know. I am so tired.
You'll feel better soon.
Did he tell you what he'd done? He's got another girl.
But it didn't mean anything.
She was younger than me.
Yes, but Mama...
You don't know what it's like. You've got your Richard and your whole life ahead of you.
Look, Mama, I know you've had a bad time, but I think everything's going to be all right. After all, you and Conrad have been together for a long time.
And we were good together. Everyone said so. Did you know we were runners-up in the bridge tournament? with lots of British and American couples competing, all very practiced players. How could he go and smash it all up?
Whatever it was, this affair meant nothing to him. He said so.
Did you know she was German, the girl?
No.
A little German secretary. Hardly any education, not even pretty. Only younger.
I'm sure that's nothing to do with it.
Well, why, then?
It was just one of those things. It was never important to him, except for the way you reacted. Hasn't he told you so himself?
How do I know it's true?
I think it's true. I've been with him for 2 days, and I think it's true.
I think so, too. Look, I'll be seeing him this evening. I'll talk to him and find out what he's really thinking. And I promise I'll tell you exactly what he says. But I'm sure it'll be all right.
Oh, Max. Oh, I'm so glad you're here.
The first course shouldn't be long. Have some more wine while we're waiting. Quite rare to get this vintage these days. Now that you're here, the least I can do is give you a good dinner.
Thanks, Conrad.
Oh, not for me, thank you.
That is good. Are there often demonstrations like the one we saw on the way here?
Fairly often. But these Hungarians seem more determined than most. Can't imagine they're having much effect, but it's nice to see them try.
They're demonstrating in London, too.
Do the Russians ever retaliate?
Not by shouting slogans. They do rather tiresome things, such as doubling checks on the roads in and out of Berlin so that it takes twice as long to get through.
Doesn't it ever bother you, being surrounded like this? I mean, supposing the Russians attacked?
Oh, come off it, Anna. It's not going to happen.
But if the Russians attacked, they could take Berlin in 10 minutes. Everyone who lives here knows this. The reason they don't attack is because they know that if they did, they would find themselves at war with the Americans.
I see.
Ah, here's our food.
Thank you.
Thank you. Anna will have given you some idea of what's been happening, but I expect you'd like to know exactly.
Yes, I would.
Not long ago, your mother went to Hanover for a few days. It was rather a special assignment, interpreting for someone quite high up. Very hush-hush, you know. And, well, while she was away, I became involved with someone else.
Involved with someone else?
It was nothing serious, but I told your mother about it so that she shouldn't hear from anyone else. Ours is a very small community. I thought she would be mature enough to see it in its proper perspective. After all, we're neither of us children.
But, comrade...
Well, she should have understood. It was nothing. Look, your mother is an intelligent woman. She has an enormous appetite for life, and that's something she's taught me too over the last few years. The friendships, the holidays, even some of the jobs I've held, I would never have done without her. Whereas this other girl, she's just a little secretary.
Then why on earth...
I don't know. I suppose it made a little rest. It's not your mother's fault. It's just the way she is. You know, such energy, such determination.
Yes.
I imagine it was such determination that got you through the war. Without it, I don't suppose either of you would have come through as well as you did.
Of course.
Naturally. But even so, what does this other girl, this secretary, think? Does she think it's all over?
I've made quite sure she understands. I found her a new position in a different department. It's finished. Over.
And what about Mama?
We pick up the pieces and start again, just as we've all done before.
How did you sleep?
Fine, thanks.
I'll call the girl and get some fresh coffee.
Not for me, thanks. Matt, did you tell Conrad last night that I was going to stay on?
I don't know. I may have. I thought you said you were going to.
I said I might.
Well, then.
I never said definitely. I've got a new job and I wanted to talk it over with Richard.
There's nothing to stop you doing that.
Everyone here seems to take me for granted and think that they can plan exactly what I should be doing at any given time.
Look, if you don't want to stay, don't stay. Aren't you getting this slightly out of proportion?
I don't see why it should always be me who has to cope.
It isn't always you. Even during the war, when I was flying and when I was working my guts out at Cambridge, you know perfectly well that I came home whenever I could.
You came, but you didn't stay.
Well, of course I didn't stay. I was meant to be flying a bloody aeroplane. I was meant to be getting a first. I was meant to be propping up the entire family.
I know. It's just... You can't imagine what it was like being there the whole time. The hopelessness of doing anything for Papa. And Mama's depressions. Even then, you know, she was always talking about suicide.
Talking, yes. But she didn't actually do anything, did she?
Actually, since I've been here in Berlin and not sleeping very well, I've begun to remember some... What is it?
Could I possibly take a quick look?
Of course, be my guest.
Thanks so much.
Can I see? Suez. British paratroopers supporting the Israelis in Egypt. We're at war. But look here. The Russians are offering to withdraw troops from Hungary. I don't understand. What does it mean?
Well, one thing is certain. I've got to get Wendy home.
Well, what about me? What about here in Berlin? You heard what Comrade said.
I don't think it'll make any difference here, but Greece is far closer to where it's all going
on. Well, what about the Russians?
The Russians have got their hands full. You'd better ring Richard tonight, though, and ask him. I'll go and see about booking a flight, and then I'll go to the hospital and say my farewells to Mum. Oh, goodness knows how she'll take this.
Well, what did he say?
What did who say?
Mama, there are other things.
Comrade, you said you'd speak with him last night. What did he say about me?
He said exactly what I expected him to say. What he'd already told you. The affair is over. He wants you back. He wants to start again where you left off.
And why didn't he come to visit this morning?
Perhaps something to do with this Suez business.
Suez? That wouldn't have anything to do with Conrad.
It may have nothing to do with Conrad, but it's got something to do with me. I have to get back to Greece as soon as possible and bring Wendy and the baby home.
Oh!
I'll be getting a flight tonight, so could we stop talking about Conrad and you for a moment and talk properly?
But why do you have to bring them home? Why can't they just catch a plane on their own?
For heaven's sake, Mama. They're on a remote island. Wendy doesn't speak a word of Greek. She couldn't possibly manage.
Couldn't she? Well, I could. After Papa left, I got you and Anna out of Germany. You were only 9 and 11 at the time. I packed up the house and all our belongings, and I got you safe onto a train 24 hours before the Nazis came for our passports.
I know, Mama, you were tremendous, but Wendy is different.
Don't you think I'd have liked to be different? I'd have loved to be different. Have everyone look after me instead of looking after everybody else.
Mama.
I learned to cook and clean when we were living in Paris, even though all I'd ever learned to do was play the piano and compose. I got a job in London when Papa couldn't earn anything. I got you into your public school, and when the money ran out, I went to see your headmaster and
I know. You got me my scholarship. But it wasn't easy for any of us, Mama. Wasn't much fun for Papa, and even Anna and I had our problems.
But you were both young. You had all your lives ahead of you. All those years I spent in dreary boarding houses, counting every penny and worrying myself sick over Papa and Anna and you should have been the best years of my life. And now, when I find someone to look after me, he goes and smashes it all up by having a stupid little affair.
It wasn't like that. You always oversimplify.
But I did get you through.
In a way you did. But I had something to do with it as well. And because you needed it so much, that put pressure on me. I would overhear you say, oh, of course he'll get a scholarship, of course he'll get a first. But there was no of course about it. I had to work very hard, and I often worried about whether I'd make it.
Oh, why does that matter?
It mattered then, because it made it difficult for me to see my life as it really was. And it matters now, because you're doing the same thing yourself. Reshaping things if they don't fit.
Max.
Everything black and white. No uncertainties, no failures, no mistakes.
Nonsense. It all happened just as I said it would. And you are making a great career for yourself.
I've got a new job
too,
Mama.
You know all sorts of important people, and you're working for this big Greek shipping owner who lends you his holiday villa? And you're jetting off in the middle of the night and... Oh, Max. I didn't mean to drag you all the way to Berlin.
And me?
No, I thought you might quite like to come.
Quite like to come?
Yes.
I've got a new job. And Richard's in the middle of writing a new serial. The BBC people say they've never had a success like his. People all over the country staying home on a Saturday night to watch it. Oh,
but I knew you hadn't really had a holiday in the summer, so it's a break from London. Honestly. Max, was the Mediterranean heavenly?
It was absolutely marvellous. Private island with... Olive groves and vineyards. Nobody there but us, with masses of servants and a cook. Though Wendy was a bit worried about the greasy food for the baby.
Did you swim? Conrad and I swam 3 times a day when we went to the Italian Riviera last spring. Oh, and now I've interrupted your holiday.
Oh, for
heaven's sake. There's snow already in Berlin.
Don't worry about it. You're a wonderful mother and everything is going to be all right.
Max. I am so...
Sorry.
Mama. Mama.
As I observed the scene and the tears sparkling in Mama's blue eyes, I suddenly remembered another time, long ago, when Mama had cried. The image of her, in a hat with a veil the colour of her eyes, was so strong that I was amazed I could possibly have forgotten it. The war was over, and things should have been better for Mama and Papa, but they were actually worse. There was Mama, just outside Woolworths in Putney High Street, crying and crying. She said she had taken some pills, which a doctor friend had given to her and Papa during the war, in case the Nazis invaded. But they hadn't worked. I remembered feeling suddenly very sad, and very angry, and very old all at once. And then taking Mama into a Lion's Corner house and drinking tea and talking about a new dress she had been given. Perhaps I had just wanted to get on with my life because I had never spoken to Papa or Max about it at the time or thought about it again afterwards. Now, as I left the hospital and prepared to go to the British Council party, I couldn't get the image out of my mind.
Delighted you could all come. You must be Anna's brother, the famous English barrister.
How do you do? Very good of you to invite us.
It's so nice to see new faces. The old ones do become rather familiar in a small community, wouldn't you say, Conrad?
Indeed.
Now, how about a glass of Gunther's German cold punch? God knows what he puts in it.
Just before we join the others, do you think Anna could ring her husband in London?
Only very quickly.
Oh, my dear, take as long as you like. The phone's in the bedroom, if you can find it amongst all the coats.
Thank you. Book
your call at once. There have been delays all day. This wretched Suez business, I suppose. And then come and meet some people.
How do you do?
I'm Ken's friend, Gunther.
How do you do?
I must tell you, I've read your father's works.
Really?
They're tremendously relevant today.
I'm so glad you liked
such
them.
Astonishing political awareness.
Well, his real loves were theatre and travel, but the political
well,
situation...
Terrible mistakes have been made. Our parents made them to Germany's everlasting shame, and it is the duty of my generation to put them right.
How will you do that?
We have the answer. It's very simple. Discussion. My comrades and I discuss everything.
Really?
Every Tuesday. Well, yesterday we discussed the Nazi ethic, and next week we shall discuss the persecution of the Jews.
I see. On Tuesdays.
Would you like to come?
You'll have to excuse me. My brother seems to want a word.
You look like you needed rescuing.
Thanks. Is it the cold German punch, or are they all crazy?
You got one too. I'm talking with people like that all evening. Luckily, we have an escape plan. Conrad says it takes longer to get to the airport than you might think.
Oh, so... I've been waiting all evening for Richard to ring. We can't go yet.
Well, I really can't risk missing my plane.
Oh, thank goodness. That'll be him.
Hello?
Richard, is that you?
Hello, love. Are you all right?
Yes, I'm all right. And Mama is out of danger.
Sorry, didn't catch.
Mama's out of danger. She's going to be all right.
Good. That's excellent news. And when are you coming home?
What do you think? What do you think about this Suez business?
Well, it's difficult to say, really.
But I can't hear you.
What?
Richard? Richard? Richard?
Anna, are you all right?
Gosh, she cut me off. I waited 2 hours for that line, and then the bloody operator cut me off just like that. I'll never get through again tonight, and we hardly spoke to each other.
Look, I'm sorry, but Conrad says if we don't go at once, I'll miss my flight. It's 2:40 already.
Oh, God. No wonder I feel so tired.
Anna, can you find your coat? We really must go.
Yes.
Thanks, Conrad. See you back in London, Anna.
See you.
You should just catch it.
Good.
Now, let me take you home. I'm sorry you didn't manage to talk properly with your Richard.
I wish...
that you were at home with Richard instead of driving around Berlin in the early hours of the morning.
Well, not just that. I wish Mama lived in a little house. I wish she liked cleaning and baking and making enormous meals and then forcing seconds and thirds on us all. I wish she had a nice, ordinary life anywhere but Berlin.
She was never very keen on domesticity, thank God.
I just wish she didn't dramatize everything so. I wish she wasn't so absurdly romantic. After all, there are other ways of solving one's problems than by suicide.
That's one of the things I feel worst about.
What?
Well, look at me. I'm not exactly a film star. I'm a middle-aged Jew with a paunch and slip disc and a face like the back of a bus. Hardly the sort of man for whom women commit suicide. And yet somehow I've driven your mother to do something which, even in the worst period of her life, she never attempted.
How do you know?
That I drove her to it?
No. That she was never tempted before.
Oh, my God! It's gunfire! The Russians!
Russians?
Well, can't you hear their gunfire? They must be closing in.
That's not the Russians, it's the Americans.
The Americans?
Artillery practice. Every other Thursday, first thing in the morning.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't normally get in a panic like this.
No, it's perfectly natural. Living here, one gets used to it.
Of course.
I've been thinking. I think you should go home. Of course, I should be glad of your help a little longer, but I hadn't really realized how hard this has all been for you. As soon as I get into the office this morning, I'll book you a flight for tomorrow and send a cable to Richard. Here you are. Maybe you'll get a few hours sleep before breakfast.
Thank you, Conrad. Good night.
Just one last thing before you go. I hope you don't mind my asking, but you'll understand it's very important for me to know. Has your mother ever previously... did she ever attempt before to kill herself?
I don't know. I really...
But you were saying before...
I think perhaps once. Just after the war. I thought earlier I remembered an occasion. But if she really did, it's hardly something I would have forgotten.
Wouldn't you?
Of course not. It would have been too awful to forget.
Or too awful to remember.
Perhaps.
Look, forget you ever told me. It didn't matter anyway. You've made me feel less guilty. And for that, I'm grateful.
Good night.
Anna! Oh, here's a pleasant surprise. Come in.
I was on my way to the hospital to see Mama one last time. I'm flying home this evening, and then I thought I'd just look in and say goodbye and thank you for your kindness, Hildy.
Oh, nothing. Come into the kitchen. Sit at the table here and drink some coffee. A cake? I have two kinds. Look, I'll put them out on a plate and you can help yourself.
Thank you.
You keep me company while I make soup for Erwin's dinner. So... how is your mama?
I don't know. All right, I suppose, if Conrad stays with her. If not, I don't know what will happen if he doesn't.
So what are you going to do about it? Stick them together with glue?
Oh, of course not. Well, it seems awful to leave her, but I can't bear to stay. I think I've already made things worse by being here. I told Conrad something about Mama from the past, which might make things worse. Conrad said it didn't matter, but I think it might.
Conrad is old enough to know if it mattered or not. And your mother is old enough to know if she wants to live or die.
Well, it's not as easy as that. It's easy to talk, but it's not the same as coping with it. If your mother had tried to kill herself, you'd feel very different.
My mother was not at all like yours. Not so clever, nor so pretty. She was a big woman with a big Jewish nose who liked to grow houseplants. There was one she'd grown right around the living room window. She called it the Green Princess. And in 1934, when Erwin and I left Germany, she refused to come because she said, who would look after it?
I'm sorry.
We think she died in Theresienstadt. We're not quite sure. There were so many, you see. And perhaps you're right. What I say is too simple. But it seems to me your mother is lucky because at least she can choose for herself if she wants to live or die. And even if you stay, what can you do? Go to your mother every day and say, please, Mama, live? You think I haven't thought about my mother every day? How I should have made her come with us? After all, she could have grown houseplants also in Finchley. But we didn't know then how it would be. You can't force people to do things. They want to decide for themselves.
But
I'm a few years younger than your mother. But she and Conrad and Irvin and I were all the same generation. Since the Nazis came, we haven't belonged in any place. Only with refugees like ourselves. And we do what we can. I make soup and bake cakes. Your mother translates for the Americans and plays bridge. Conrad processes the claims of Jewish survivors. So much he can give to them for the loss of their property. So much for the loss of their earnings. But what can he give them for the loss of their entire families? Their sense of a place in the world. Their confidence. Nothing. It's not wonderful. But it's better than Finchley. And it's a lot better than Theresienstadt.
Of course.
Look, but you just have to understand. It's not your business. Now, before you go to the hospital, you want something to eat?
No. I mean, no thanks. I'm not feeling very hungry.
Pale green you look. I hope your Richard will feed you up.
What if Conrad leaves her? I'd just like to know before I go home that she'll be all right.
He's a good man, a kind man, and they've been together for a long time. He'll certainly stay with her for a while.
And then?
And then? Who can worry about then?
Is my mother there?
No, didn't they say downstairs? We've moved her into the day room.
Oh.
The doctor is going to discharge her soon, and I understand she's going away to the mountains to convalesce. She's just along the corridor and through the door.
Oh, thank you.
Mama, you're here. Isn't it good about Hungary, defying the Russians like that?
Incredible.
Well, this is a pleasant room.
Yes. Tomorrow's my last night in hospital, so the sister said I should get up and get dressed. Well, come and sit down. They'll bring us some tea soon. The nurse told me what you did when I was in a coma. About your being here so much of the time and sitting on my bed and calling me. I'm sorry, I didn't know. One doesn't remember, you see. She says you may have saved my life. Thank you, Anna.
That's all right, Mama. Anytime.
You're dreadful. As bad as your brother.
I take that as a compliment.
I'll have a week at the convalescent home. The nurse says there's a ping pong table. And then Conrad is booking us a hotel up in the mountains. Oh. We've been there before. The most beautiful place with excellent food. I thought I'd take my blue dress for evenings and the new coat I wrote to you about, the one with the rabbit collar, in case we go out.
Oh, that sounds lovely.
Hmm.
And, you know, Mama, when you come back from your holiday, well, if you're still not quite all right, or if you just suddenly feel like it, why don't you come to London?
To London? Why? I'm coming to London for Christmas, aren't I?
Yes, of course. But if you get a bit fed up...
You mean if things don't work out with Conrad?
Oh, not necessarily.
If things don't work out with Conrad, I'm certainly not going to hang round your neck.
Look, I'm sure everything with Conrad will be fine. Mm. But if by any chance it weren't, I'm just saying it wouldn't be the end of the world. You'd still have Max and me, and no money worries. And your job, if you want it. Or you could easily get another one. You wouldn't have to stay in Berlin. You could move. Get one in another part of Germany. You've done it lots of times before.
Oh, but that's exactly the point. I'm 56. I've made enough new starts. I don't want to move. I don't even want to go to a bloody convalescent home with a ping-pong table.
But you love ping-pong, and you're so good at it.
I am, rather. But... You know, I had a talk with a doctor yesterday. And they have that awful psychology even here in Germany now.
He thinks that when someone tries to kill themselves, it's usually a cry for help. That's what he called it. All I know is that when I swallowed those pills, I felt completely happy. I was lying on my bed. They take a while to work, you know. And it was getting dark outside. And I was looking at the sky and watching the snow falling and thinking, there's nothing I need to do. It no longer matters. I'll never, ever have to make another decision. And I've never in all my life felt so peaceful.
But everything's changed now. And you're going on holiday. And if everything's all right with Conrad, won't you be quite glad?
Oh, I don't know. I just don't know. If I had died, you see, at least I should have known where I was.
Well, that's certainly true.
Why do you always think I'm so funny? I'm really very serious.
I brought you some tea and cakes.
Ah!
Oh, thank you.
Oh, look, how delicious. Plätzchen. Do you remember how Heimpe used to make them?
Oh, aren't they good? Well, we used to have them for tea. Max and I would get home from school, and you were always there, and Heimpe would pass them through that little hatch from the kitchen, and we'd eat them while we told you about our day, before we did our homework. On my birthday one year, I must have been six, maybe, Heimpe made miniature ones, and I served them up on a tin plate for Pink Rabbit.
Yes.
I'd quite forgotten the taste. I haven't eaten one in years.
Now, tell me about your new job.
Oh, it's in the same department as Richard. Working on dramas.
Mm-hmm.
Not my own thing, just tinkering with other people's scripts.
It's only television, but Papa always said you ought to write.
Yes. I hope he'd be pleased. Well, I suppose I should be going now.
It's been so nice today. Just like the old days.
It has. I've enjoyed it too.
I wish you could stay longer.
I've really got to get back. But I'll write every day. Even if I haven't much news.
Well, have a good flight. Goodbye, my darling. And thank you.
Goodbye, Mama.
Oh, and give my love again to Max. Anna!
Darling!
Oh, thank God. You're back.
Oh, I've missed you dreadfully.
It's been getting a bit frightening.
Well, the sewers business.
And hungry.
But I thought that was all right.
All right?
Settled.
Haven't you heard? It's in all the evening papers.
No. Did the Russians...
Of course. When they said they were moving out, they were just waiting for reinforcements.
Oh.
Now they've got them and they've pounced tanks all around Budapest. They've grabbed all the leaders, closed the frontiers, chucked out the Western press.
All those poor people.
Oh, God knows what will happen to them. Apparently thousands are getting out while they can.
Again, surely something can be done. They can't just be left, can they?
Everyone's scared. Could so easily blow up.
Do you think there'll be trouble in Berlin?
If it did blow up, I suppose it wouldn't matter where you were. But I am very, very glad that you're back.
So am I.
Give me your case. I think there's a bus in about 10 minutes.
Oh, darling, thanks.
Are you all right? You look exhausted. We'll be home soon.
I haven't had much sleep the last few nights. There was a party. And the most ghastly German punch.
Poor love. And you've had the curse as well?
No, I didn't.
You didn't?
I knew there was something. Well,
are you sure? I mean, it could have been the strain.
No, I've had no appetite and I've been feeling strange and queasy all the time too. A baby.
Darling, a baby. How marvellous. I wonder what it'll be. Do you mind, Rich?
Not really. I suppose it won't speak any German.
Well, you could teach it if you like.
No, I don't think so.
You'll be a lovely mum.
A mum? It's hardly the best time to start a baby, is it?
I don't suppose it ever is.
No, I don't suppose so. There's something else too, Richard. You know, you've been saying for ages now that I should try and write something of my own. While I was in Germany, I suddenly realized what I want to write about. I want to write about my story, our family story. Growing up in Berlin and then leaving, Switzerland and Paris and London, and being a refugee. Mama and Papa and Max, even Pink Rabbit. I can write about it all for our child, for our children.
In A Small Person Far Away by Judith Carr, dramatised by B.T. Rubens. Anna was played by Anna Madeley. Max by Adam Billington. Mama by Adjoa Ando. Conrad by Simon Treves. And Hildy by Sarah Kestelman. Richard was played by Carl Prekop. Ken by James Lely. The Nurse by Emerald O'Hanrahan. The Curator by Peter Hamilton Dyer. And Gunter by Harry Livingston. The director was David Hunter.
And next week in the classic serial at 3, you can hear the first part in a new series of The Plantagenets by Mike Walker.
Capturing the nation in conversation.
So when do you think things went strange for you?
Audio snapshots of Britain.
He got hit by a kilo of flour in the stomach.
A collaboration in sound between the BBC and the British Library, featuring conversations about life, love, laughter, and the bits in the middle.
My dad is then poised on the barbed wire and just literally fell like a shot elephant. Bang.
Join me, Fee Glover, for the Listening Project, beginning this Friday afternoon, just after you and yours, at 10 to 1 on BBC Radio 4.